Hey, everyone, and welcome to another episode of Divi Nation. Divi Nation is a podcast and YouTube show by Elegant Themes, a proud leader in the premium WordPress theme and plugin market. Now, the goal of Divi Nation is really simple. We want to provide you with the knowledge, insights, and supportive community that you need to be successful with WordPress and Divi. I'm your host, Nathan B. Weller, and as your host, it's my job to facilitate that success by having various guests from the Divi and wider WordPress community onto the show to share their stories and experiences with you. In this episode, I'll be interviewing Elegant Themes lead designer, Mario Maruffi. So if you've been following along with our Divi 100 series so far, then you're well aware of his stunning, fantastic design work with all of the Divi layout packs that we've been giving away for free. But beyond that, he's also been hard at work helping Nick and the whole team create Divi 3.0. So in this interview, Mario shares his WordPress story, his design story, and he tells us about the work that he's doing on Divi. So we conducted this interview very similarly to the interview with Thierry about 2 weeks ago. So I hope that you continue to enjoy our alternate format. Without further delay, here's Mario.
Hey, Divi Nation. As Nathan said, my name is Mario Maruffi, and I'm the lead designer at Elegant Themes. I'm Italian, but I live and work out of my home in Canary Islands, Spain. That's where I'm joining you from today. This is my first public interview, so, well, I'm pretty excited.
Awesome. Well, thanks for joining us, Mario. Can we get started by having you tell us a bit about the area where you live?
As I said a moment ago, I'm living in the sunny Canary Islands, an archipelago of Spain, located just off the southern coast of Morocco. The islands where I'm living is full of nature, beautiful landscapes, and friendly people from all over the world. It's a place with sandy deserts and rocky mountains where you can meet wild goats and squirrels almost everywhere. You can also enjoy outdoor activities like surfing, mountain biking, trekking, yoga, and things like that, since it has a great weather year around. I also feel fortunate to have found an amazing co-working space here, where I can work and connect with other professionals and digital nomads from all over the world when I simply don't want to work from home.
Now I'm curious about something. Italian design is famous the world over when it comes to things like cars and fashion. Do you think this holds true for web design as well?
Well, it's a difficult comparison. There are amazing web agency and digital designers in Italy, but I'm not sure that we can compare the web design market or any kind of digital design to the more mature industries of Italian fashion or cars. For example, everyone knows Lamborghini, Ferrari, and Armani, right? But I'm not sure you could name me an Italian web designer, and at least not yet.
Okay, fair point. But let's talk about your personal design influences. Has your country or your culture influenced your take on digital product design, or have you had to establish your own philosophy and aesthetic?
I think many different things around us, whether we realize it or not, influence us creatively. For me, it's the people around me and the problems they encounter. Design isn't about making things look pretty, right? It's about solving real problems in an elegant way. When I began to look at the world through the lens of design problems and design solutions, I fell in love with this way of thinking. I was able to extend that type of thought behind my physical surroundings to include the internet and digital products too. In fact, I enjoy what I do now because I'm solving real problems in a digital space for real people. The solutions I come up with improve the lives of those who use that digital space. And in our case, that means the web and the Divi specifically.
Who or what are your greatest design influences?
Dieter Rams with his less but better philosophy taught me a lot. There's also designers like Massimo Vignelli, Bruno Munari, and a few others that I admire. But the biggest influence recently are the people around me. For instance, I'm impressed at how talented and thoughtful the team is at Elegant Themes, as well as other design-minded people I meet every day. But above all, the answer is the same as I said before. Human beings and life in general, it inspires me. I especially enjoy trying to observe how people think, act, and react, trying to determine the motivations behind people's actions. I also like reading books related to philosophy, art, and science, because I think design requires a more holistic approach that no single subject can fully articulate. Which means I look for inspiration outside of just design stuff.
Tell us a bit about your design background. What are your general interests in the arts, some early experiments you might have had, education, stuff like that?
I started designing with zero design background when I was 13, and I tried to create my first website. I had no idea what HTML or NFP client was. I thought myself design tools like Photoshop by looking at other people's work and studying the PSD files they shared. Eventually, I learned HTML, CSS, and a bit of jQuery the same way. I grew up creating websites as a hobby and personal projects. I designed and built static websites for many different kinds of small businesses as a teenager and created personal projects on a variety of topics until I founded a pretty popular gossip blog in Italy before I decided to sell it for clear divergences with my real professional interest. It was at this time that I began to mature a bit and focus more on design. I founded a couple of different online stores through marketplace like ThemeForest to sell ready-made themes for different CMSs. At the beginning of this, I started providing ready-made e-commerce solutions that allowed me to sell products for such companies as Adobe and other big names on the market, and then keep the focus on the creation of ready-made solutions for the creative market or agency and freelancers. Along the way, I also did a lot of freelancing for a wide range of clients, from small, mid-sized startups to well-established companies, looking for user-centered design with the goal of helping them improve their products. And today I have a bachelor's degree in media arts, but I can't say it has been fundamental for my career as a designer.
So based on what I've heard from others on the show, I think that's kind of become pretty standard experience. People go to school for something and then they have to change what they're doing so quickly that you end up having to teach yourself everything important to your own success. Speaking of things that you may or may not have taught yourself, can you tell us a bit about your personal approach to design?
One thing is for sure, in studying how the arts are applied to new technologies, I have learned to recognize how and where art and design are different. When we treat design as self-expressions, we fail before we start. That is what art is for. In a painting, we may try to appeal to our own subjective taste and meaning, but design cannot afford to make this its top priority. A well-designed product is always based on a clear intent. The main characteristics of the product will be to make its functionality clear to all who use it. People need tools that solve their problems, not pretty things that create more problems. Ideally, the final product will always be the most delightful and aesthetically pleasing version of the best solution to the problem you have attempted to solve. And the simplest way to sum this up is saying you are all likely familiar with forms follows function, because great products are a product that people find valuable and useful, a product that they love.
So have you always been interested in digital product design specifically, or did you begin your career as a designer creating other things?
I can say that I began my career playing with graphic design tools first, and then front-end code, emulating things I found around the web without really being aware of what design is.
Okay. Well, what was it like going from pure design emulation to actually understanding the theories behind design and beginning to act on those?
Around 7 years ago, when I was studying for a psychology exam, I had to read a book about the fundamentals of psychology. In this book was an interesting example of how the US military was able to improve the user interface of their tanks with a combination of Gestalt design principles and usability testing, ultimately resulting in more effective deployment of these weapons in battle. And at that moment, something began to bounce around in my mind. I began an intense research into the Gestalt principles and tried to align my own designer's guide to Gestalt's theory. And during the same period, I found a very old edition of the book The Psychology of Everyday Things, which is now called The Design of Everyday Things, wrote by cognitive scientist and usability engineer Donald Norman. Through this book and my other studies, I began to understand about how design serves as the communications between object and user, about how good design can make the experience of using an object more enjoyable. This, of course, has been central to the concept I brought up earlier of designing things for the people in my life, which right now is the Elegant Themes team and the TV community.
So what were you doing before Elegant Themes, and how did you end up joining the team?
I started looking for jobs for designers on a little site called Dribbble. And it was there that I found Elegant Themes and discovered they were looking for a senior product designer. I knew Elegant Themes from almost the year of its foundation. I was a fan of it. I'm a fan of it. But honestly, I was not very up to date about their company side, as well as their unique culture and community. So I started learning through their career pages. And after, I realized that my interest and my experience could be aligned with the same things that they were looking for, I decided to send my application.
What's the biggest difference between web design and product design?
Generally, web design is how to design and build websites. It's about applying basic design principles like branding, color theory, and typography in the forms of HTML, CSS, and JavaScript in order to achieve the client's desired result. And then we have product design. And product design is about problem solving. Specifically, it's about solving the user's problems and improving their experience of using your product.
Can you tell us something about the design process at Elegant Themes?
The first step is always figuring out which problems we are trying to solve, and the second, for who. Once we know what problem we need to solve and have a good idea of how to solve it, we can begin moving through what most people recognize as a typical design process, sketching, wireframing, prototyping, etc. And at each stage, we are testing our ideas and making sure they work the way we want them to.
Do you have any suggestions for developers who might want to learn digital design?
For people who perceive design as something difficult to understand, I suggest to have a look at the book named Design for Hackers, Reverse Engineering Beauty by David Kadevi, because it will guide you through the classical design principles and techniques using an easy to follow the constructive approach that explains each component behind what makes a beautiful design so remarkable.
And what about just general advice for people who'd like to improve their design skills?
I think the first things everyone should do if they want to improve their design skills is consciously think through each design decision. Become aware of the design choice you are making and be able to explain the intent behind each one. Merely thinking like a designer, we go a long way toward elevating your work. And the rest is a matter of acquiring more technical skills and refining your design sensibilities through further learning.
Let's talk Divi 3.0.
Okay, well, we have already shared some information about it on our blog, but I'll do my best to share more. Our mission is to build the best front-end page builder for WordPress on the market. DB3 will launch with a completely new visual editing experience than anything else available today.
What's been the most important design problem, in your opinion, that you've had to solve for Divi 3.0?
The most important problem we have had to solve so far is the editor's usability. This is because all of your changes will appear live on the page. You will be able to edit content and visual elements live without switching back and forth between the backend version of the builder and the WordPress preview mode. So we are working hard to design a solid user interface that is self-explanatory, something that provides seamless interactions, helping the user focus on the creation of their website without useless distractions.
We've talked a lot about how Divi 3.0 will be different from anything else that's on the market right now. So besides the instant changes that using the React framework will allow, what is a specific example of how we've designed our front-end builder differently? Is there a particular feature or aspect of the usability that we haven't talked about yet that you're excited to get into the hands of our users?
I'm excited to show off our invisible design approach behind DB3's front-end builder. And when I say invisible design, I'm not just talking about minimalism. We wanted to create an intuitive user experience that predicts what tools or controls you will want to see at any given moment and seamlessly present them to you, while at the same time allowing the tools or controls you're not using to fade away until you need them again. And in this way, we retain the power and the flexibility of the backend builder while also providing a simple and pleasant experience on the front end that never gets too busy to see what you are doing.
What if people like the current backend builder?
And don't worry, if you prefer the current Divi builder experience, it's not going anywhere. The new live editor will live on the front end, while the existing editors will remain on the back end. The two experiences will be completely cohesive and interchangeable. And Anyway, I'm pretty sure that if you like what Divi is now, then you will fall in love with what it will become in the Divi 3.
Well, that's all for this episode of Divi Nation. As always, I just want to give another big thank you to our guest, Mario Maruffi, for coming on the show and taking the time to record his questions in English, which, by the way, is a language that he's still learning. I think we can all agree that he did a fantastic job. So if you have any questions about the topics that we covered in this episode, feel free to leave them in the comments wherever you're watching or listening to this. I've made sure that Mario is aware that the episode's gone live on our blog, and if you leave your comments there, I'm sure he'll be more than happy to drop by and answer any questions that he can. Thanks for tuning in, everyone. I look forward to seeing you around the community, and as always, I'll be back next week with another episode of Divi Nation.